This is the HopeCast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
What's up, Sally? Welcome back to the Heart Conviction Podcast with me, your host and your soulmate, Nina Palmer. I was jamming the intro song on my end too. It's kind of a jam, right? I love it. I would get really into it. I do the ugliest little dance to it every single time. I love it. I appreciate you coming back. I've been getting the best feedback from y'all. Love your messages. Love your feedback. Love to hear what had you frustrated and what inspired you, encouraged you, what you thought was funny. It's been really great. You guys loved the bulletin from last week. You even said, go ahead and talk about serious things, but we just need like a little lighthearted bulletin first. So that's what we're going to do. We'll go through a bulletin each week and then we'll talk about, you know, rain or shine, heavy or light, hysterical or treacherous. Then we'll go into our topic. For this week, I'm going to read some listener feedback. You guys have been giving me the best stuff and I have cue cards this week. I feel so official. This is a message from Ashley Nicole on Facebook. She said, you are my fave for real. You killed it. Inspiring. You kept yourself genuine and you stayed real. No conformity. You're really dope and you did something absolutely incredible, girl. Like, what nicer thing can somebody say to you? I asked her where she's from. She's from New York. She said, I've watched for years, but you are the most BA. Then from every season, she said, it makes it look so deceiving. And she said, I could be a baddie, but I don't think I could ever do this. It's always the prior convicts or guys that overcompensate to feel masculine who tap out or fall into traps. And you said what you meant and you meant what you said. Dang it. You know how to hit my heartstrings. That is one of the best compliments you could give me. My dad would be proud that somebody's saying that to me. She said, Barbie literally emasculated everybody and did it in the most humble, non-intentional way. And that was a reality check. I love that and what it brings. Thank you. So nice to say that. Those kind of messages mean a lot. Appreciate you, Ashley. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for messaging me. And thanks for just being so genuinely kind. Those are the best messages. And that means a lot to me. I don't think we have to tell what we are. I don't need to tell you how strong I am, how tough I am. A lot of people say stuff like, I'm a really good person. I don't need you to tell me that. I want you to show me. I want you to be about it. Even when they were coming at me in the beginning of that first episode, I don't need to explain myself to you. Let me show you. Let me show you. Remember when I said maybe you could learn something from me? How we present ourselves matters also, but how we judge those matters too. So really nice message. Appreciate you saying that. Thank you so much. So we are still in State Fair season, Texas State Fair. Been going almost every single night. I tell people I want to share my passes with them. And then I'm like, well, I'm going. We're sharing. Let me tell you, I'm going to give you the highlight from the Texas State Fair this week so far. So you know how Dubai chocolate is a big deal. Love it. I love the $10 ones. I love the $20 ones. I love the $30 ones. It's so good. That crunch mixed with pistachio. If you love pistachio and chocolate, it's just yummy. And they'll put it on all kinds of stuff. But at my favorite stand, I think it's at the east entrance, at the fair, they have the sweet potato funnel cake Dubai chocolate fries. How many good words can we fit into one sentence? Is that not like divinity? And they're so good. If you love a funnel cake, these are delectable. But then to pair with it, they have the Dubai chocolate beer. And beer drinker or not, it's a nice, smooth, good beer. I eat the chocolate. My husband has the beer. We sample each other's. It's that pair up is good. I wouldn't say the beer is super intense. It just has like kind of chocolatey aftertones. I wish it really had like a strong, intense pistachio flavor. Wouldn't that be interesting? But that's been a good one this week. I had a couple other things I always love. My absolute favorite from last year, which it was the winner last year, and I think they will probably have it every single year to come, is the cotton candy bacon. Oh, It is the pair you needed. It is a dueling that you can even imagine how good it is. Even better. Okay, let me tell you what else happened to me today, this morning. Pop into the grocery store, go to a grocery store I don't even normally go to. Come out, bought some pumpkins. It's October 1st. We were in October. I know every Christian is debating within their heart, where's the line between over celebrating for Halloween? Where's the line for us? We're going to talk about that in some episodes in this month to come. Just you wait. I got a good one for your hearts. If that's something you kind of teeter on, you're like, I don't know if I should do it. I got a good one for you. I got something special for you. We're going to have our own harvest party. If you know, you know. Go buy some pumpkins. And I come out and I'm putting my little cart back because you know I'm going to get that quarter back. The way I will never leave a quarter. Okay, I just told myself. I was at Aldi's. The way I will never leave the quarter in the cart, it's never happening. That's one of the most genius plant. Whoever invented that should run the world because it's brilliant. I'm getting the quarter back. I can guarantee you that. And then if you left your cart sitting anywhere within a walkable radius, you best believe I will go get that cart also. I would probably even drive. I'd probably even pull it on my truck and I'm popping that thing in and getting that quarter out. I've made a buck one time doing it that way. I was raised by Europeans. Okay. We appreciate a quarter or dollar, but go. And then there's what looks to be like a parrot laying in this spot beside me. And he has his whole wing sprawled out like on the curb. And then he's kind of hunched over beside it. And he looks like a full-blown parrot, like neon green, bright blue. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like somebody dumped their bird outside. You hear of that happening. And I'm going to have to save a bird. I don't know nothing about birds. Now, let it be a kitten or a puppy. Or if my dreams came true and there was a baby pig in a lot, I'd be in heaven. But I didn't know what to do with this. And I was like, what do I do? So, you know, we're Googling. The lady beside me is like kind of trying to help, but like not wanting to get too invested and letting me know that it's on me. And she's looking up phone numbers and it lets me pick it up and it's like bleeding out of its neck a little bit. And he's like very clearly injured. Well, I'm not going to leave Aldi the bird in the parking lot, not in my nature. So I'm like, come on, buddy, let's go. I happen to have some like little rescue supplies in my car. I wrap him up in this pillowcase. I put him in this little box and we're in the car and he's looking at me like, you're going to save me. And I'm fantasizing it in my head that, you know, as we do. Am I being a good person right now? You're being such a good person. That's what my friends say. You know, I'm trying to write by this dang parrot. But then I Google image search him and they're calling him a Quaker parrot. And apparently it is a bit of a parrot. He looks like a parrot, but there is some population of them in the DFW area. So weird. I don't know why. He's beautiful. So now I'm like, okay, he might be wild. He's not someone's pet, which makes me feel better. So I get him in the car and I'm watching him. He looks like there's potential he could even like pass away. And out of nowhere, he freaks out and is revived and alive. I gave him a little bit of water, and I'm telling you that gave him it's hot here. It is hot even October 1st. Maybe he just needed a pop of hydration because Aldi, the little bird, the little parrot bird, went flapping around in my car. He got the healing of the Holy Spirit, and I got a parrot flapping around in my car on 75 the highway in Dallas. I'm like, is my life real? Like these moments on brand for me. So I'm like, wow, buddy, you're feeling a heck of a lot better. Maybe he didn't want to hear my music in the car and my lips running and me trying to diagnose what kind of bird he was. Take him home, take him outside. I'm holding him and I've made a TikTok. I'm like, somebody help me. What do I do with this bird? Before I knew he was okay. Take him outside. When I tell you, he flapped away into the sunset in 2 seconds. I guess our friend was fine. So all that and buddy he was faking it. I got catfished by the parrot in the Aldi parking lot. So if you saw me driving down 75 with a parrot flapping around in my car, be about your business. Don't talk about me. So that's what kind of day I'm having. Now, I know in episode 3, we got really serious. We got really heavy. I'm not going to go there again. So do not fret. We're not going to get real big into it. But if you're paying attention, are you also asking yourself the question to speculate or not to speculate? That is the question. And I am talking about the Charlie Kirk stuff. Not so much him anymore. Everybody else. It went from what we thought it was to Bunny Trail Central. And there's probably something healthy and not engaging in it. Honestly, you could get sucked in. But the criminal investigation part of my mind that I have to be anything in bail bonds, it's work in double time. Every aspect of it is very intriguing, very interesting, very fascinating. Taking it all with a grain of salt. A large part of my stronger skill set in the fugitive recovery aspect of skip tracing. So when searching for criminals and fugitives, what my success contributed to was I was really good. I call it at sniffing stuff out. I can smell sus from a mile away. I can, because 1 + 1 has to equal 2, and 2 + 2 has to equal 4. And if you can make a connection, now there could be one-offs. There could be special circumstances. There could be it just so happened to be, there is coincidence, but there's usually not a ton. And you get about one coincidence pass with me. And then after that, it's starting to smell like something. It smells like something. Now, I don't know if it's something we should talk about again or not, but if you're a conspiracy theorist right now, Merry freaking conspiracy theorist Christmas. Merry Christmas, because I know you're rolling around in heaven right now. It's a good day for you, ain't it? So to speculate or not to speculate, that's all I'm saying. The only thing I'm saying right now, I try to not waste too much time on it. I try to not give it too much energy, but let me be waiting for a flight. Let me be sitting in a waiting room. Let me have a couple minutes to kill in a drive-through line. And we're deep hole digging. Anybody listening to Candace? Okay, I've said too much. Anyway, all right. So what we're going to do is we are going to play you part 2 of the formal introduction to the Better Person Project. And we are starting on self-reflection. Now, that has been given such a cliche title these days. It's not real appreciated. And I think a lot of us aren't super, super interested in self-reflection. Not that I don't think we see the value in it, but we want the value for everybody else. And self-reflection is not a bad word. It's not a scary thing to say. It's fascinating to learn about yourself. The people who truly know themselves are the ones who seem to be the most engaged in situations. They seem to be the best kind of people to be around, the easiest to be friends with, the healthiest, and they have a lot of success. And you know, you will sometimes just meet that magic person who just seems to get it. I believe those are people who self-reflect. And yes, it's hard, but it's not bad. And if you subscribe to the belief that nobody is a perfect person, which I hope you do, then you need self-reflection. So I don't know why we get like a little uncomfortable or off-put or defensive. We don't need to. And so maybe that's really where we need to start. Let that wall down and ask yourself, can I self-reflect? Am I open to correction? Am I good at that internal dialogue where I can hammer things out? And are you somebody who's willing to contribute a little bit of time, effort, and energy into self? Are you even willing, or are you not? Because if you're not, then that means you got it real figured out. And I don't ever want to be there. It's so beautiful to like not be real prideful and not do that. You know, even at work and stuff, when somebody will be like, hey, can I talk to you about something? You know, I don't want to be offensive. And I'm like, oh no, you should lay it out. I want to hear it. Tell me. I love self-reflection. I love the opportunity to correct. So this is part 2 from last week. If you're watching the video and I'm not having costume changes mid-podcast, not yet. We're getting there. I did start getting cue cards this week, so I do feel like an official host, but I'm not doing costume changes. So we're going to play that, and I appreciate you being here. there's a deficiency in Christians in general on this topic, and anybody for that matter, honestly, because I don't think that we're taught to look at things practically and to look at them in the small areas. Also, here's like a really good example. You know, when you go into a job interview, and this is so antiquated, I hate when people do it. When people like ask me this ever, I'm like, oh, we're so stuck. You know, this is so old. But that question of like, tell me what are some of your worst traits? And we're like, oh, you know, I'm too organized. I'm so organized that it just is like to a fault. Like I'll just spend all my time making everything perfect. That those like nonsense answers, I think that's how we check our heart. We naturally kind of advocate for ourselves, and it's in us to defend ourselves. And we do know the inner workings of our heart. And so there will be some more advocacy there naturally. However, we have gotten to this place where we're not willing to ugly self-reflect when it comes to the areas we really need. A big part of that is like, if you know somebody who's an active addiction and it's like blatant that it's costing them so much in every area of their life, and yet they're like, well, it's not that bad and I've gotten better and, you know, I'm working on it. Like even if you remember Kat from the show, my cellmate, she said to me, yeah, you know, I used to do fentanyl and I don't do fentanyl anymore. And I said, really? I said, you got off it? I said, that is so hard for I learned in there that is like almost impossible for people. And she goes, yeah, I mean, I don't do it anymore. And I said, that's really awesome. And she goes, yeah, it's definitely beatable. And then she tells me, I mean, like I will like recreationally do it, but I don't like do it every day. It's like, oh, okay. And then Vicky, my sweet favorite, it was so hilarious. She caught herself up in the self-reflection and she goes, I wish I could quote it exactly. We were laughing so hard. What I really wish is that Vicky could have had her own show, but what I really wish is they would have showed it. She said, Vicky really struggled with meth. That was her thing. And she was very open about that. She'd have no problem with me talking about it. And it was so funny. We were talking about, I think, caffeine and coffee. And that's quite a topic for Mormons. You know, she's Jack Mormon. If you watch the show, you know what that means. If you know, you know. And she was like, yeah, I mean, I'm off all that. She goes, I used to have it. I couldn't function without it. I would wake up and immediately have to have a coffee or a Coke. And she goes, I rid myself of all of that. I don't struggle with any addiction anymore. And then she looked around and she said, well, except meth. I fell on that dirty jail floor. Didn't care. We laughed so hard. But it's kind of that, except emotionally. And I'll tell you a big one. Okay. Here's in all my counseling and pastoring and just peopling throughout the years, even friendships. If your parents struggle with it, there's a good shot you struggle with it too. The ugly traits within your parents, the odds are you are actively in that too. It's often very generational. It's very taught, all of it. And, I will watch people talk about the things that their parents did that hurt them or the traits that took away from them or that they don't like in their parents often. And then they will be struggling with those same issues, but they won't identify. I saw it in my own mom. If I'm being honest, she would talk about things about her mom and it was the exact same things that she struggled with. And I was like, we are so bad at self-reflection. So what is the turning point for somebody who can't self-reflect at all to the point where then they can reflect? How do we get to that point? And here's what I think it is. I think it's having a concept of it and wanting it and being in a place where you're like, okay, I'm open. Correct me. I have some quotes to kind of take us in that direction, if you will. Some really good ones that I've saved. And when you kind of hit this point in your life where you're like, I want to start correcting some things, or I see it and I need it, then you're open to it. And then you almost can't get enough of it. Aristotle said, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. Wisdom is like a 100-point word. That's a big one. It's not being smart. It's not being specialized in an area. Wisdom is a deep-rooted, profound knowledge of the things that complete this life. It's something higher. And it's saying knowing yourself is where the wisdom starts, which is true. If you can't apply those things to your own life, how wise could you really be? That one's incredible. Carl Jung said, this one is so heavy. Prepare yourself, okay? Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life, but you will call it fate. Is that not a stab in the heart? I'm going to read it again. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life, but you will call it fate. Gross. That one is heavy to hit. Think about what's unconscious. It means like if you go unconscious, you don't know what's going on. So people forget accidents and things. There are aspects of who you are, of your personality, why you do what you do, where your source comes from, that you are unconscious about. Not conscious, not ignored, not backseated, unconscious. Like you don't even know you're there, that you're doing it. And until you make those things conscious, it will direct your life, but you will call it fate. Meaning the parts you won't tap into are directing your life. Like, how are we so unaware? How? This one says, this is by Lawrence Bossidy. It says, self-awareness gives you the capacity to learn from your mistakes as well as your successes. Socrates said, here's another one. Brace yourself. Take a seat. The unexamined life is not worth living. Woof. The unexamined life is not worth living. Excuse me?
Before we get started with this episode of Heart Convictions hosted by Nina, my name is Brad and I'm a part of the Hopecast Network and I also host a show you may enjoy. If you love Heart Convictions, you're going to love Your Weekly Calling. Every Monday, it's a 5 to 8 minute devotional just for you. We love our listeners here at Hopecast, and what better way to start your week out than listening to God's Word on your way to work, working out, or just sitting at home. So make sure you like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling after you listen to Heart Convictions hosted by Nina on the Hopecast Network.
Hey, everybody. This is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Lots of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network. And if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch your podcasts.
And that's from Socrates. So, you know, you can take your Instagram quotes and shove it. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. But it's saying if you don't take time to examine areas of your life, to examine, to look and tear apart and reassess and rebuild the areas of your life, then it's not even worth living. I would even go too far to say is you're probably hurting people. You probably have distant family members at this point. Depression. Areas of your life that go unexamined, they're costing you in every other direction. And he said, your life it's not even worth it at that point. If you're functioning out of a place where you cannot look within and identify and dare I say, surrender to God, it's not even worth it. It's not even worth it. And then Thich Nhat Hanh, I'm saying that right? Awareness is like the sun. When it shines on things, they're transformed. Have you ever had a plant that will like form its way to the sun and it will like lean into the sun because it just like feels so good. It knows it wants it. And you can see that it's like healthy because of it. That's how it works. You transform when you lean into truth about yourself. Some of the most powerful moments you can ever have are these moments where you just kind of fillet your heart open to someone in repentance or the Lord in transformation, like renewal, and to say, I have went so wrong in this direction. It could even be minor. It could be small. It could be social anxieties. It could be trauma. It could be being too disorganized. It could be being resentful, an attitude, an arrogance, not being able to be present. It could be something really, really small. Boy, do you show
when you start self-reflecting. I have a girl that I work with. She's incredible. And I didn't see her for a couple of years. And then I saw her and she goes, "You remember how I was before? I'm a whole different person now." And she took the time to evaluate every aspect of her life and to really go through the things about herself. One of the things I think that is hurting us the most in church right now, you know, I have some qualms with the modern church, if you will, but I think what's hurting us is we really give these large pie in the sky, very preachy messages. Sometimes they hinder inspirational, sometimes they dangerously hinder inspirational or are inspirational. And we like high emotions, you know, we like all these things. Fine. But you'll sit there, you'll hear it, you'll get amped up, and you'll walk away like, "That's right, I'm going to do better. And I love Jesus," all these things, whatever. Or even just a plain motivational speaker at anything. Fine. You will walk away and feel so good. But we are not giving applicable, direct examples on it. Exact examples. And we're just kind of giving generalizations. And I don't think we're good at applying those to what we do. I think we need to talk about the fruit of the Spirit more. And I don't think we need to say it in the sense of you need to pursue self-control, because I don't think it can happen. I do not. I do not think that the concept of self-control can be aspirational. I don't think it's obtainable at that point. What I think happens is you have to self-reflect, and hopefully with Christ, and then submit areas of your life to Him and aspects of it, and look at what the Bible says about it, like not what you think or what you hope to be or how you're going to do it within your power. But if you do it the biblical way, and then I think what the Bible is saying is the results of that, AKA the fruit of that, is the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You know, you look at the fruit of something and then that's where you see where it comes from. I have some stats for you. Okay, self-perception gap. Research indicates that 95% of people believe that they are self-aware, but only 10 to 15% actually meet the criteria for self-awareness. That one hurts. Here's a leader impact. A study was done and found that leaders with high self-awareness are 38% more likely to be successful in their roles. That's interesting. Emotional intelligence. I love that conversation too. According to Talent Smart, 90% of the top performers were emotionally intelligent, which is closely linked to self-awareness. Workplace performance. Teams with self-awareness perform 20% better than those with lower levels. And personal growth. A survey from the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology showed that individuals who regularly practice self-reflection report a 23% higher in life satisfaction to those who aren't. Man, isn't that so interesting? When I hear stuff like this, I think, okay, where can we find the value in it? And how do we apply this practically? So here's a test. Are you good at showing unconditional love? Are you good at showing extreme love? How about unconventional love? Are you practicing Christ-like love where you love the unlovable? That could be from having people in your home to being foster parents to taking care of those who are widowed, the orphans. I could go on forever. That kind of love. We look at love and we go, yeah, I got a good marriage and I'm a decent dad or whatever. And got a real good friend. You know, we have lunch once a month and yeah, I live my life of love. Sure. But are you loving like Jesus loves? Are you loving those who aren't lovable? Do you have people in your life where loving them is a push for you, where it's hard, where it almost makes you uncomfortable? Are you loving people even when you're offended? Are you pursuing those who have hurt you? Do you have good relationships with people within your life that you don't like? How about your ex-husbands and ex-wives or whatever? Are you still able to love them or be kind to them or respectful to them or function with them? If not, You are in need of self-reflection. Let's go to joy. Do you have untouchable joy? Do people say he or she has the joy of the Lord in them? They're always in a good mood. They're always pleasant. They always uplift me. Even in their worst of times, they have a joyous spirit about them. Do you create joy within your house? Are there a lot of fights? Do you create tension? Are you controlling? Are you demanding? Is there chaos or is there joy? What about peace? The definition of real peace, where people find refuge in being around you, where you're able to have a calmness, a soundness to you, even in the worst of time. How about patience? It's in all the common areas of patience. Are you patient in lines? Are you patient when you're waiting for your food at a restaurant? Are you patient in traffic? Are you patient when you don't get your way? Are you patient when you're disappointed? Are you patient at your worst? Are you patient when you travel? Are you patient in the car? Are you patient with your kids, your spouse, your pets? Are you mean to the dog? If you're not, those are areas that probably need to self-reflection. How about kindness? Are you overly kind? Are you generously kind? Do you give when you have little? Are you kind to those who annoy you? Do you take time to make eye contact with people and ask them how they are? How about people that you know are hurting, who have just lost anything, a job, a relative, something they wanted, their dignity, a spouse, a baby, whatever? Are you kind to them where you show up for them continuously? Are you kind to people you don't understand? Different demographics, ones that kind of push your limits. I'll tell you what, there are genres of people that just are hard for me. It's like, doesn't come natural for me. In those moments, I know it's a test for me to show kindness. How about faithfulness? Are you faithful to your family members? Are you? Are you faithful to old friends? Are you faithful to new friends? You're going to hear me say this a lot. Are you faithful to people who offend you? Are you faithful to your family? Do you show up for them? Are you faithful to your jobs? Are you faithful to your word? Are you faithful to you? Do you execute your weight loss plans? Do you do something that you said that you were going to do? Are you a person of your word? Are you faithful? If not, you need self-reflection. Goodness. We don't even know what that means. I think it's the most underestimated fruit of the spirit. What is goodness? Are you good when things are bad? Do you bring the goodness to it? Do you look for the good in things? Are you glass half full? Are you appreciative of the 1% of good in a 99% bad situation? Do you always do what's right? Are you honest? Do you speak well? Are you the same person in person that you are behind closed doors? Are you present with people? Do you make eye contact when you talk to them? Do you show them what goodness looks like? Are you consistent? Are you the same? Are you moody? How about self-control? How about self-control when you want to pop off? Do you self-control when you're mad? Spending, how much you game, how much time you give to your hobby, your horseback riding, your whatever you do. Is there self-control in that? Do you have self-control in your gossip? Do you have self-control in your mouth and your lips and what you do, what you listen to, what you watch, how much TV time you watch? Is there self-control in that? Which one did I forget? Gentleness. I love gentleness too. I think gentleness and goodness are like the secret weapons. Are you gentle? If you are a strong, opinionated, loud, boisterous person, okay, right here, pointing at myself, do you know when and how to use gentleness? Do you see when somebody needs gentleness? When somebody is wrong, do you offer them gentleness? When you are 100% correct and they are 100% wrong and you can biblically back that up, do you practice gentleness? If not, you need self-reflection. I could go on and on and on and on forever. There are so many benefits to self-reflection. It shows itself over and over and over again. One of the most dangerous states that we can live in is when we don't take the time or the effort or the energy to self-reflect at all. We start repeating negative patterns, consistently facing the same issues, and yet we never think we change. You know that person who always has the same issue with all the same people? If you have a ton of tension, the same kind of tension with a lot of people, good chance you need to self-reflect. Always blaming others, frequently attributing problems to others without acknowledging personal responsibility. If you have an argument or a disagreement with somebody, immediately self-reflect. Immediately. You know what I do? When I have long turmoil with people, I tell the story to somebody I confide in and that I trust. And I will say to them, tell me in this scenario, if and where I could have been wrong. Tell me. We are emotionally reactive. We will overreact to minor situations. We're easily triggered. You need self-reflection. If you have a quick, hot temper, you need self-reflection. Lack of growth, feeling stuck or stagnant in your personal or professional life, you need self-reflection. It might be something deep in. It might not even be your commonly related thing. That's a commonality I see in God. When people will start plugging into things of God and really getting to know scripture, they'll say, okay, this is actually affecting this. It's so crazy. I learned that in my science class in art school too. She was talking about how certain nerves and other parts of your body really affect other aspects of your body. And I remember her saying that and me thinking, wow, this is bigger picture. Do you have a lot of strained relationships, ongoing conflicts and misunderstanding with family, friends, and colleagues? You need self-reflection. Impulsive decision-making, making choices without considering long-term consequences. If you feel disconnected, I know very little people. I know tons of people. And out of the tons of people I know, I would say, 5% or less are people that actually make me feel real connection, eye contact, engaged, not distracted, respond back, remember things about you, ask questions. A lot of people struggle with that. If you have a difficult setting boundaries, ignoring your personal needs, people who are exhausted, overran, no self-care, that's why we're going to talk about self-care. You probably have some places that need self-reflection. If you resist change, that's me, feeling uncomfortable or anxious about change, you probably need some self-reflection. It could be something that you are unconscious to. Chronic dissatisfaction. You know that person who always doesn't like their food. They always have something to say. They always got to switch it out. They're always complaining. They're always pointing out the negatives. They always want to say that, but you know that person. That is somebody who has a soul issue, character problems that they need to correct. Overwhelming stress, being persistent on feeling anxious. If you deal with anxiety or depression, don't buy it that you're just diagnosed. You have something that needs worked on. Negative self-talk. Lack of gratitude. Oh, I'll tell you what, that is so big. This is just all a list of the common ones that I see really frequently. A lack of gratitude. Instead of going into a situation and saying, hey, I love A, B, and C about it, they will go in and say, I hate, you know, LMOP of it. Really being thankful. I'll tell you one of the biggest gifts that jail gave me, true gratitude. I have not disliked a meal since, and I'll have meals I don't like. Feeling lost, unsure of one's goals, passions, or identity, or lack thereof. If you are somebody that has no goals right now, nothing you're working towards, even minor things, little things like I want a better garden or I want to take a couple vacations. If you're just somebody who just does not have goals, do you have goals? Ask yourself that. Do I have goals right now? Typically, you're a person who either says, yeah, I have a ton, or you're someone that says, I have none. If you don't have any goals, you probably need to self-reflect a little bit. Frequent regret, say that five times fast. Frequent regret. Dwelling on past decisions or missed opportunities. Or people who get real stuck on the same topic over and over again. Do you ever hear somebody just like continually bring up the same topic? They need self-reflection. Difficulty expressing emotions, so they come out in other ways. You can't make clear you don't know the difference between your emotions. You need a self-reflection. Avoiding responsibility, masking, feeling checked out, often shifting blame instead of owning one's mistakes and be able to have honest conversations about that. You need self-reflection. Low motivation, feeling uninspired or unmotivated. Restlessness, a constant need for distractions to be alone with their thoughts. Or people who have addictive personalities where they like get so fixated on one thing, like I have to have 13 of these or 900 of these. Or, you know, I met somebody who collected cars and they just had a whole warehouse of like hundreds of cars sitting there. Just for no reason. Probably need some self-reflection. A disregard for consequences or thinking that you're above it and repeating harmful behaviors. Feeling judgmental, people who are just wildly judgmental, you need self-reflection. I could hit you in the head with a frying pan. Inconsistent goals or goals that don't make sense. Not that you can't have big goals, but ones where it's like, well, that's probably not going to happen. You know, when somebody who's very poor is telling you their lesson plan for, multi-million dollar plan in the next 5 years, probably need some self-reflection. There's probably something bigger and deeper going on. Tons of superficial relationships, quick to leave relationships. We are in a society that says cut people off, cut people off, cut people off, cut people off.
The constant need for validation. I could go on forever. Unresolved anger, holding on to grudges, feeling tons of resentment in every chapter of your life. Self-reflection. Feeling overwhelmed by small issues, getting really stuck on minor details. You know that lady who couldn't return her sweater because she didn't have a receipt and it's all she talked about for 5 days. Need self-reflection. Inconsistent value in actions. My dad taught me, if you ever want a sign or to know if somebody is off or wrong, if things do not add up, if things are inconsistent in their life, like the way they talk, their morals, their values, their priorities, and need a self-reflection. There's something deeper rooted going on. Ignoring feedback. You know, the person that always cheerleads for themselves when you say, hey, like this, you know, would you work on this? I don't do that. That's not me. I need a self-reflection. Constant comparison to others or feeling inferior based on other people's lives. Self-reflection. Fear of a solution. If you're not solution oriented, when you say, hey, I know you're struggling with this, but I really want to see you. And you say, you know, whatever the goal. And they'll go, no, like they don't want to talk about it. Like it's like scary for them. They're uncomfortable and it gives them anxiety. If you can't sit alone with your own thoughts without having to have a fix of something, a fix of social media, a fix of shopping, a fix of music, you know, those people who can't function through their day without constant music playing, that's a fixation in need of self-reflection. Feeling stuck in routines. People who get type A's, this is you. You will struggle with this. You will like have to do it because you have to do it because you've always done it. You are in need of self-reflection. And emotional numbness is a big one too. In need of self-reflection. If you went through that whole list and none of those spoke to you, in need of self-reflection. How about Christians who don't seek restoration with other Christians? It's only biblical. It's only the foundation of our faith. It's only everything we believe in. It's only everything. And yet if you have somebody who is saying, I want to fix this with you, a Christian, and the Christian is not doing it, you are in need of self-reflection.
Okay, friends, that is our official introduction to self-reflection. I hope you got something from that. We will go deeper into this subject and we will talk about aspects of it. I even ask you to say a little prayer if you would. Pray for yourself over it. Say, Lord, are these things in this that I need? Is there a part of this that you want me to concentrate or think about? And you know what? Can I even just pray for you? It'd be a first time praying on this podcast. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that the listener right now who hears this will trust you enough, value their calling, value the power and correction, that they will open up their heart and that they will not only receive the self-reflection, but that they would enjoy it because they're doing it in your name. Thank you for loving us enough to be a good father who corrects us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for letting me pray for you. I hope you join us again next week. We have some really good visitors this month, and we are going to surprise you. I can promise you that. If you enjoy the show, would you do me a favor? Would you go to the show, whatever app you watch it in, and will you subscribe to the show, follow the show? It really helps our program and it will give you notifications when we have a new episode out. So I love you. Self-reflect the poop out of yourself. Okay. Just self-reflect yourself. Self-reflect. Just reflect, reflect, reflect. A picture within a picture of somebody in a mirror. Just do it. Would you? Reflect this week. Love you. And we will be back next Monday. Bye, friends. We'll be right back.